Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the first week of our series on good works, we considered what a good work is. Good works are those done in Christ, proceeding from faith. No work is good apart from Christ. Then last week, we talked about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments teach us God's eternal, unchanging law. And in so doing, they do show us our sin and our need for a Savior. They also act as a guide to show us what new life in Christ looks like. And our new nature in Christ delights in this. And the Ten Commandments can be summed up in the command to love God and to love our neighbor. Now we're going to look more specifically at how those Ten Commandments are lived out in the life of a Christian. How the Ten Commandments are lived out in our daily lives in the places where God has called us to live. We all wear different hats, so to speak. You have obligations to your family, to your community, to your nation, to your employer or your employees, to your customers, but it doesn't stop there. There's also an obligation or duty that you have in the church, the body of Christ. Now, in an increasingly secular world, an increasingly secular culture that we live in, at least, this is the place, perhaps, where we forget what our duties are, because our culture is increasingly turning away from the church, and its priorities are elsewhere, in those other spheres of life. But every person who is born again in Christ, who has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been born again into a new family, and into the family that is the church, the body of Christ. And now being part of that family, we have certain obligations, certain duties. The insert that was included in your bulletin described these duties for the two divinely ordained positions in the church, pastors and hearers. I will refer more to this later on. For right now, however, if we are to get a sense of how we live in this body of Christ, it is helpful for us to step back and look at a couple of images or pictures of the church that are depicted in our two readings for tonight. The first reading gives us a picture of the church as a body. And the second reading gives us a picture of the church as a flock of sheep. So let's look at each of these, spending more time highlighting the first image, the image of the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, we hear the church compared to a human body. Listen to the Apostle Paul. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. By baptism we're all brought together into one body. We're all baptized with the same kind of water. It's water. And we're given the same name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are all given the Holy Spirit in our baptism. No matter who we are or where we've come from, all who are baptized into Christ are baptized in the same with the same basic things, word and water, according to Jesus' institution. And yet we are all different, and we have different backgrounds, different. We are male or female, Jew or Greek. We are different nationalities. We all come from different places, and we have different gifts and abilities, but we are all baptized into that one body. So Paul then goes on to talk about the church as a body that is composed of many members. He points out that there are feet, hands, ears, and eyes, and one part of your body doesn't say that it doesn't belong because it isn't that other part that seems so important to the rest of the body. You value each part of your body and would not want to see one part of your body be cut out and removed unnecessarily. You want your body to be whole, to be there. Each part makes a unique contribution to the body as a whole. You wouldn't want to be just an eye, or just a foot, or just a hand. No matter how valuable those individual members are, you want all of the members of the body. And they are valuable when they are especially connected to the rest of the members of the body, as they are working together in concert and in harmony. And so, too, the church is composed of many people. And you and I have been made a part of this church under Christ, who is our head. And we should not say that because I am not some other person, I don't belong. I don't have that position. I don't have those gifts. I don't have those abilities, and therefore I don't belong. No, our Lord has died for you on the cross. And he has come to you and given you the benefits of his cross in your baptism. And he has said, you are mine. You are part of the body. You belong here to the body of Christ. He desires that you be saved. Our Lord has called you to be a part of this body under him, who is the head. And under his headship, he gives out his forgiveness and feeds and sustains every single member. So we should never say that we're not needed because we aren't like someone else. If you were baptized into Christ, you were made members of the body, and you can't say, I'm not necessary. Christ has died for you, and his death has been applied to you. Then Paul goes on in verses 21 through 26 to look at things from a different standpoint. Perhaps the standpoint of the person who isn't saying, oh, I don't belong here, but the person who says, those other people don't belong here. Perhaps that first person who says, I don't belong, is giving into despair and is not living in faith toward our Lord, trusting that his good gifts are good for them, that he loves them and cares for them, that he has bought them, he has purchased them. That is to live in faith toward him, is to say yes to all of that. To say, yes, my Lord loves me and I belong here. But on the other hand, a person could have the attitude, an attitude not of despair, but an attitude of arrogance that says, well, I am such an important part of the body. I am so good, and those other people, whoever they may be, they don't belong here. We don't want those kinds of people. And the Apostle Paul rejects this attitude. This attitude that says that these other parts aren't necessary. In the same way that you wouldn't say that this part of my body is not necessary and can be done away with. Now this can be reflected in the attitude that says we only want certain people in the church. And so it does not live in love toward others, or really in faith toward God, trusting that he has given these members as good gifts to his church and they belong there. But it might also be seen in another attitude, in an attitude that says that I can be in relationship to Jesus apart from the church. This is becoming commonplace today. A person says, I am spiritual, meaning I have some connection to the Spirit of God. I am spiritually alive, but I am not religious, or I don't like organized religion. But that would be to say to other members of the body of Christ, I don't need you. I'm going to have the head, Jesus, on my own. I want to be a part of Christ, but not have the other members of the body. That is not to live in faith toward God or love toward others. Faith toward God says that he has composed a body with different people that have different gifts, and we receive our Lord, we live under him as he, our head, with these other members who are also under the same head. But for a person to say, I can have Jesus on my own apart from the rest of the body, would be like a part of your body saying, I want to be apart from those other parts. Perhaps if your big toe said, I would really like to have my own connection to the head on my own terms, but I don't really want to be troubled with all those other little toes that don't seem to do very much. or the rest of the body that doesn't perhaps fully recognize my importance and all the gifts and talents that I have been given. But we all know that if the big toe said this, it wouldn't work. Apart from the rest of the body, this one toe would die, and the rest of the body would have trouble walking. Every part of the body is needed, and no part can say, I'm going to be independent, I'm going to have God on my own terms, and I'm going to be alive, and I don't believe in organized bodies. No, if one part of the body doesn't believe in organized bodies, it won't be part of the body anymore, and it will die. To be connected to Christ, connected to the head, means you're also connected to the other members of the body. Working with the rest of the body, not working on one's own. And sometimes in that body, we might have to bear with the suffering members of the body. Just as your whole body is affected when one part suffers, when one part is in pain, other parts of your body feel it. And so too, other parts of the body of Christ do suffer when one member suffers. And being with these other members of the body of Christ, it will be the case that these other members of the body of Christ are sinners like we are. And we will have to run into sin. And we will have to forgive sins when we are sinned against. But we will also need to receive forgiveness when we have sinned against other members of the body. And so we bear with fellow members of the body of Christ, to forgive and to be forgiven. And we will all receive together our life from Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. We were baptized together into this body, and we were given the same Holy Spirit, and we eat and drink the same body and blood of the same Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Notice that communion is not done usually individually, unless someone is a shut-in and they can't come here. But we call it communion because we have something in common. We gather together to receive this. And so the body of Christ, the normal order of things, is for the body of Christ to gather together with one another to receive this life from our head and to live in relationship with one another, serving and loving one another. And so this means that one of the things that we will do for one another is also encourage one another toward good works. Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Here there is a connection between the meeting together, the gathering of the body of Christ, and the stirring up to love and good works. We gather together, we forgive each other, but we also encourage one another to live in faith toward God and in love toward others. And this will also mean that we may need to call others to repentance when and where it is necessary. We might have to, when we see our brother or sister in Christ caught in a sin, to point out that sin so that they may confess it and receive forgiveness. And then also, as new creatures in Christ, we will need to use the gifts and talents and callings that we have been given to serve one another, to make sure that the gospel continues to be proclaimed and that the sacraments are administered in our midst. Yes, we take care of each other's physical needs and we provide for them, but we also work together to make sure that the gospel continues to be proclaimed here. And in that, we are loving future members of the body of Christ, saying, I want the gospel to continue to be proclaimed in this place and in other places around the world so that people hear the good news, so that they believe in Christ, and so that they are saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll notice, that is the emphasis in the insert that I provided from the table of duties in our small catechism. When it says in the back page of that insert, what do hearers owe their pastors? It talks a great deal. Most of the passages there are about supporting the proclamation of the gospel. This is so that the gospel continues to be proclaimed here in our midst, and it continues to be proclaimed around the world, so that others may continue to hear, but also so that we may continue to hear. So we need to see ourselves as members of a body. We have been brought into this body apart from our good works. We don't live apart from him who is our head, but we are also not part of him who is our head, apart from the other members of the body. We have been given life, and we now, as new creatures, gather together with the rest of the body to receive life from our head, and then also to love one another, to give fellow encouragement to our fellow members, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to make sure that the gospel continues to be proclaimed in our midst. So we see the Ten Commandments lived out here, trusting in our Lord, calling on his name, hearing his word, the first three commandments. That is what all of the members of the body are doing as they live in faith toward God. But then we also live in faith, in love toward others, the other members of this body, as we serve one another in love, encourage and support one another, with our physical needs, yes, but most important, to make sure that the word of God and his sacraments are faithfully proclaimed and administered. But there's a second picture of the church in our second reading for tonight, the reading from John chapter 10, where Jesus speaks of a shepherd and of sheep. There the church is pictured as a flock of sheep, with Christ as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep here don't care for themselves. They don't protect themselves. If a sheep leaves the fold, he is away from not only the other sheep, but he's also away from the shepherd. And he's in danger then, in danger of wolves that can get him. And so the sheep wants to be a part of the rest of the flock, because there, even with these other sheep who are sinners, who do things that they shouldn't do, they may be hard to live with, but those sheep are under the care of the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And it is there that the sheep are listening to the voice of the shepherd. As Jesus points out in verse 16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." There is one shepherd, Jesus Christ, and the church gathers all around this one shepherd to hear his voice. In fact, the church can be described as sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. We gather as helpless sheep who cannot care for or protect or help ourselves to hear the voice of our good shepherd. And this is especially what is described in the last two verses of what hearers owe their pastors in the table of duties. It talks about hearing those who have been set into position of authority in the church to proclaim the Lord's word. And this is not because those who have been set into this place to proclaim the word are such amazing people in and of themselves, because they have attained to some level of spirituality, but rather because of the word of God, the word that called them through the church into this position to proclaim the word publicly, and because of the word which they proclaim. This is their authority, as they are speaking the words of Christ. And if they are not speaking the words of Christ, they need to be admonished and corrected. And that is why there's that admonition in the front page of your table of duties. Admonition to the bishops, pastors, and preachers. You see what you should expect of your pastors as they proclaim the word of God, that they should be living a certain kind of life, yes, and also holding fast to the trustworthy word and proclaiming it, correcting, offering reproof from the word of God. But everything is about the word. The pastors are hearing the word and they are proclaiming the word. The hearers are hearing the word, and they are receiving the word, and they are calling people to proclaim that word, and they are making sure that the word continues to be proclaimed, because it is the word of the Good Shepherd, the voice of the Good Shepherd, that first gives the church its life in baptism, and that continues to sustain the life of the church as sins are forgiven and as his sacrament is given out. The church is sustained by words, the word of forgiveness, the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ because of his death on the cross for our sins in our place. So we live out our calling here in the church by hearing the word, by making sure the word is proclaimed, and by gathering with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with the flock, with the body, forgiving sins, proclaiming his word to one another, and proclaiming his word to those outside in our private relationships, calling them to come and hear the word and be part of this same body with us. This is our calling in the church. This is our duty. And it is a joyous, wonderful thing then to hear for ourselves this word of forgiveness and also to see others hear that word of forgiveness and to call upon the same Lord with us and to gather together at the same table and eat the same body and blood of the same Christ and receive that forgiveness and look forward to the day that we will be gathered together with all the members of Christ's church at the great wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom forever. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.